Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. This is part two of a series talking about the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of incorrect teaching, a lot of non-existent teaching. People don't know what to teach. There's a lot of mystery, I guess you would say, surrounding what is the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit, how does he act in our life, what does he do for us, what does he do in our life. And so all of these answers are in God's Word. You just have to dig in and study, show yourself approved, and you will find out about the Holy Spirit. But briefly and in summary, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. It's the Spirit that is given to us when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we receive Jesus and we become a born-again believer, we're born again by the Spirit. Our spirit man is born again. And if you don't know Jesus and you have not been born again, you're not going to understand totally what I am telling you. You're not going to understand totally what I am teaching you. Because when you are outside the kingdom of God, when you're on the outside looking in, or you're on the outside and you have not moved into the kingdom of believers, you're not going to understand. You may intellectually grasp what I'm telling you. You may intellectually grasp what the Bible teaches you. But when you become convicted in your heart of your sin, and you become convicted to the place where you know you need a Savior, and that can come at any age, beloved. It can come at 7 years of age. It can come at 70, anywhere in between. It can come at 90. And when you become convicted of that fact that you are a sinner and that you are separated from God by your sins, then you understand your need for a Savior. You then confess Jesus. You repent of your sins. You turn from your wicked ways. You repent of your sins. And you ask Jesus to come in and take control of your life, to be your Savior, to be your Lord. And then you receive the Holy Spirit. And specifically, we're talking about the Spirit baptism. That is the full immersion of the Holy Spirit, because I believe that's the way it was taught and experienced in the Bible, not just taught, but also experienced by the first apostles and the first Gentiles. And so I believe that is God's will for us today, and that is God's will. And so we want the highest will, the highest calling, the highest will for God in our life. That's what we desire, beloved. We don't want to settle for second best. We don't want to settle for shortcoming. We want to settle for everything that God has for us. And everything, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. In him there is no change and no shifting shadow. And so we want the best for ourselves. I want the best for you. God wants the best for you. And so this is what I teach. This is what I preach. I believe this is what the Bible teaches and preaches. And so we can look to the Bible. We can look to see what happened in the issue of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, that pouring out that came on that glorious day at Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. We'll look at that here in just a minute. First of all, though, I want to take up the prophecy in the book of Joel. This prophecy was spoken by the Lord to the prophet Joel, and Joel wrote it. Joel spoke it and wrote it here in the book of Joel. And this prophecy, which came 700 or so years before the Holy Spirit was poured out in a dramatic way at the time of Pentecost, before that event, 700 years before, Joel had spoken about that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out over all mankind. And sure enough, just as we sit here today as recipients of everything that Jesus did, as recipients of everything that was spoken by the Old Testament prophets, so too this prophecy came to pass. This prophecy not only came to pass, but it ignited the early church. It ignited like a cannon, like a shot going out from a cannon. And the early church was ignited to the point where they were wanting to go all over the world, where they were motivated to go all over the world and share the gospel. Take the good news of the gospel to people in every corner of the earth. And here we are sitting here 2,000 years later. And because of their motivation, because of their desire to share the good news, because of the experience that they experienced and the life that they lived back then 2,000 years ago, we now have the Christian faith here in America. We have the Christian faith in Africa. We have the Christian faith all over the world. The number of tribal groups, the number of languages that don't know about Jesus, that don't know about Christ, and have no affiliation with Christianity, that number of groups goes down every year because Bible translators are all over the world, missionaries are all over the world, people are going all over the world to share the good news, just as Jesus commanded in Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. He said, "Go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And so he spoke about the Trinity right there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. "Go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age," or some translations say, even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so Jesus gave that great commission. The disciples went out and they were motivated. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were ignited. It was an explosive explosion of not just information, but explosion of the Holy Spirit and the excitement, the zeal, the passion that came with that fire of the Holy Spirit. That passion and that zeal then propelled them to go into all the earth and to be obedient to that great commission. Well, in Joel 2:28, we see here the prophecy that Joel spoke. And of course, we know this prophecy came to pass. It came to pass 700 years later. But Joel was just speaking from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as it was instructing him. And so he wrote these things down. He spoke them in verse 28. It says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." Verse 32, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls." And so that is the prophecy. It came 700 years, and of course, Joel probably didn't understand what it meant in totality, maybe even in partiality. He didn't understand what it meant, because at that time, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out in a grand way, in a massive way over all mankind. But when this word came, Joel wrote it down. He was faithful and obedient to write it down. And the Lord says, "I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all mankind." Well, that pouring out came in the second chapter of Acts, 50 days after Jesus was resurrected. Last week we talked about Jesus preparing the apostles for his last appearance on earth. He was preparing them for his ascension, and 40 days after his resurrection, he met with the apostles and he said, "You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You're going to receive power, and you will be my witness. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth." And so he was telling them, when this Spirit comes, it is the promise from the Father. It is the promise, and you wait here in Jerusalem for it, and you will receive power when it is poured out. You're going to be a witness. You're going to testify on my behalf. You're going to tell people what you have seen, what you have heard, what you know, all of these things, and came to pass just as Jesus prophesied they would. And then he says in Joel, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, this comes about, beloved, because when you have the Spirit of God living within you, you have the prophetic gift living within you. You have that gift that has been given by the Holy Spirit, one of many gifts given by the Holy Spirit. You have that gift, and you can know what is coming. You know what the future may hold, not every detail of it. Not every detail of what's happening tomorrow, not every detail of what's happening next month or next year, but you can know in a generalized way when you are instructed by the Holy Spirit whether to go this way, whether to go that way, whether to associate with this person, whether to take this job or that job, because the Holy Spirit counsels us and it gives us the truth in all things. Back to that scripture we looked at last week, John 16:13, it says, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, Jesus said, he will take of mine, he will give it to you, and he will give you the truth in all things. Well, how is it that he can give the truth in all things? It's because the Holy Spirit is not bound by linear time, just as God is not bound by linear time, and Jesus is not bound by linear time. And so we too, when we have that Spirit of God giving us counsel, when the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, gives us counsel, he gives us guidance and instruction, we can know in a very generalized way, and sometimes in a very specific way, how the future is going to unfold for us. I recently released a book called Prophecies for America that you might be interested in getting, in purchasing. And that book is filled with prophetic dreams that the Lord has given me. I didn't ask the Lord specifically on this night to give me a prophetic dream. I didn't ask the Lord to specifically tell me about what's coming to America. I didn't say, I need to know about this subject. God downloaded these dreams into me because that is a fulfillment of prophecy. Just as Joel said, your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. So don't think it anything unusual that I may have a prophetic dream or that you may have a prophetic dream or God may give you a vision that is a daytime vision that he opens up your eyes so that you can see into the spirit realm. Don't think it anything unusual. That is God's will. That is God's will, and that is his plan, and it is a fulfillment of this prophecy in Joel. This is going to happen. I would think for those of us who are born-again believers, if you are a born-again believer, it would be much more unusual for you not to have a prophetic dream or not to have a vision or not to be able to prophesy. It would be much more unusual if that were the circumstance, but we know this has been promised to us, and so it's not an issue of, oh, this is a very, very strange thing, and I'm somehow superior, or I'm somehow very strange. Don't think that about yourself. This is commonplace. This is God's desire. All through the Bible, his people were given dreams. All through the Bible, his people were given prophetic visions, given prophetic words, and so it is very common, even in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul and others were given prophetic dreams, visions, trances, and they were allowed and prompted to prophesy. And so it's nothing unusual. It is a fulfillment of God's plan for our life. It is a fulfillment for God's plan for his church, for the kingdom. And so just fit into it and take up your part, and don't think that you are something peculiar if these things are happening with you. And verse 29, also my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Well, what Joel is saying here, the Holy Spirit was telling him, this is not going to be something for just a certain segment of people, not just for the religious elite or the Pharisees or people with a lot of money or people in a certain country, a certain race, anything. No, he's saying it's going to be for even the lowly, even the downtrodden, even those with no money, those who are poor. They are going to be seeing dreams and visions. they are going to prophesy, because Joel said, on my men servants and my maid servants, I'm going to pour it out on them also. So it's not a question of status, not a question of how important you are, what your reputation is. God says, if you seek me, you will find me. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened for you. And so if you seek the Lord, you seek him, not specifically so you can be showered with his precious gifts. That's not why we seek him. We seek him because we love him, because we want to serve him. But when we do that, God knows your heart. He knows if you are coming to him in humility and with the heart of a servant. And so he will pour his precious gifts and he will pour his spirit out upon you. Well, verse 30, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming and the great awesome day of the Lord. Well, back in 2014 and 15, I believe it was, just guessing at the date there, I believe it was 2014-15, there was four separate blood moons, all four falling on the Feast of Israel, two in one year, two in the following year. They all four fell on feast days of the Feast of Israel. And so people in the kingdom, especially those who have an affinity or a knowledge of prophetic events, they were very excited because they understood that these blood moons pointed to some significant happenings in the kingdom here on this earth. That God says that I'm going to give you signs in the heavens. I'm going to give you signs through the moon, through the sun, through comets, through peculiar happenings in the heavens and with the stars and with the sun and the moon. And God says these are going to be pointers. These are going to be signs and wonders. Well, what are they signs to? They're signs to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes back to gather up the church in the rapture, and then when he comes back in the millennial reign, there's going to be signs in the heavens. There always has been significant events. I'm not talking about astrology. I'm talking about astronomical astronomy events that point to awesome events in the kingdom and prepare us and remind us of the coming of the Lord. Even a good rainbow after a rain shower will do that. It reminds us that God made a promise and a covenant promise to Noah. And so we're reminded of the presence of God and of the promises of God just to see a rainbow. And so there's some very, very beautiful, strange, wondrous events in the sky that will point to the coming of Jesus. Well, verse 32 here in 2:32, the book of Joel, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, beloved, there it is right there. That was true in Joel's day, and it's true today, here 2,000 years later, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some of you out there, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Things are going haywire. Things are going crazy in your family. Things are going crazy in your life. You have no peace. You have no stability. You may be looking to drugs. You may be looking to pornography. You may be looking to sex. You may be looking to who knows what to give you stability and peace and keep you interested in life, keep you motivated. And I tell you today, Jesus Christ can give you peace. He can give you stability. He can give you salvation, all those things that will bring peace into your heart. And you shall not be fearful. You shall not be troubled. You shall not be stirred up, that you can have peace in your life. And you call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what your past reputation is. You can be sitting out there in prison today. You can be an alcoholic, a drug addict. I don't care. God doesn't care. He will take you. He will clean you up, and he can make you a child of the living God. He can give you the privilege to be called a son of God or a daughter of God. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Well, after Joel made that prophecy, then we come to the second chapter of Acts. If you have your Bible, turn it over there, second chapter of Acts. And this is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is that outpouring that Joel prophesied about. This is the outpouring that Jesus told the disciples to get ready for, to wait for, and it came 10 days after Jesus ascended there in Jerusalem, and this is the way it happened. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were together in mind, in spirit, and they were up there in this upper room, about 120 people, the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so there it is, the first mass outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that which Joel had prophesied, and afterward, after these days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all mankind. There it came in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and it was prophesied by Joel. It was fulfilled here on this day, and so we had an account here in the second chapter of Acts. Luke the doctor, who was with Paul, wrote this account. And he said, on the day of Pentecost, it came, it was poured out, there was a mighty rushing wind, there were tongues of fire setting on each one of those people, and they all began to speak in tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they spoke the message of the gospel in languages that they did not know. That it was the gift of tongues was poured out as evidence, not only as evidence that they had received the Holy Spirit, but also as a gift so that they were able to accomplish a purpose for the kingdom that in their natural they could not have accomplished. And that is, the Holy Spirit gave them the gift of tongues. They were able to speak the gospel in a language, in a tongue that they did not know. But the people out there listening were able to hear it and understand it in their own native language. Well, I'll start in verse 5 here. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not these who speak Galileans?" These were Galileans. They were disciples of Jesus. They had walked with Jesus for 3 years, most of them. And so these Galileans were speaking in many languages, and it confused the people who were listening, because they didn't think the Galileans had the ability to speak in these languages. Well, I'm not going to list all the nations that were there to receive. There were 16 or so listed here in the Bible. And so they were all perplexed and amazed, verse 12, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, verse 14, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then Peter repeats that prophecy that Joel spoke. He repeats it word for word, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and your men servants, your new maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Well, it goes on. Peter spoke to them the whole prophecy that had occurred in Joel. Peter, thank God, he knew his Old Testament scriptures. He knew that prophecy from the book of Joel, and he recognized, he realized that what was happening to these people, what was happening was what Jesus had told them about, that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out. Wait for what the Father has promised. It's going to be poured out. And sure enough, when it came, Peter was able to say, "This is it. This is the Spirit that has been poured out. It is the Holy Spirit of God, and now he has been poured out. He has been given to those who call upon the name of the Lord." Well, it must have been very, very exciting On that day of Pentecost, it must have been extremely exciting, not only for the people to receive, but also for those who were ministering, for Peter and those Galileans who were speaking about the Holy Spirit and speaking the message of the kingdom of God to these people. And it must have been a very exciting time to hear that mighty rushing wind and see those tongues of fire and see these people start to respond and speak in tongues and start to give the gospel message to these many, many thousands of people receiving in their native languages. Well, beloved, I've been fortunate and blessed beyond description to be able to see this happen in Africa. Many times we preach and teach about the Holy Spirit being poured out, and at all the crusades we pray for people to receive that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. We pray for people to receive salvation, to repent of their sins, to turn from their wicked ways, turn to the Lord, call upon the name of the Lord. There's nothing more basic than preaching to people who have that hunger and that desire to come to know Jesus, to call upon the name of the Lord, and to receive all those good and perfect gifts, the Holy Spirit of God, that third person of the Trinity, to receive the Holy Spirit of God, to walk with them, to talk with them, and to counsel with them all the days of their life. Well, beloved, that can be you today. If you never confess Jesus, get down on your knees, repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you. He will be faithful and true to do that, and then you can walk in the Spirit yourself. You can come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit to direct you, guide you, and counsel you, and lead you into the truth in all things, just as it happened on the day of Pentecost. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to support this ministry. Sit down, write us out a letter, let us know you're listening. Let us know that you enjoy these broadcasts. Make a donation. We'll send you a book if you do that. And stay tuned for contact information. And we thank you. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.